Okay, we're good now.
All right, it is Thursday, May 14th, 2020, and this is collective bargaining between the United Faculty of Florida, UCF chapter, and the Board of Trustees of the University of UCF. Oh, and we have minutes, which I can't pass out like we usually do across the table, because of course we aren't across the table. But I assume everybody has looked at them. And are there any changes that you need to make?
Anyone from my team have any questions?
Yeah, we're talking about the minutes, right?
Yes.
So I'd like to suggest that they be revised to read agreed rather than tentatively agreed. Because this was an exceptional negotiation and MOU. So thank you.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
All right, Prince, if you'll just make that adjustment, we're good.
Okay.
All right. Well, how is everybody today? Good, I hope.
We're good. I'm good, yes.
Still reasonably sane. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so today, I guess we'll be starting to talk about Article 23, salaries. And did you have anything for us?
No, we don't.
Okay, because we have something for you.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, I'm also having a little minor technical difficulty, so I will, with lighting. Okay, all right, I think this will work. All right, so I'll share the screen to see what we have. So we discussed this over the last 2 weeks with my team. Oops. Okay, so host disabled from screen sharing. So whoever's the host, could you please give me share screening rights? That might be Brianna.
Okay, can you share now?
Okay, cool. I can do it now. There we go. Where did it go? Article 23. Okay. All right, so if you all don't mind, I'm just going to go over it like we have in the past. So like all the changes here. So let me view it in a better way. Okay. All right, so starting from the top then. So this is our first proposal. This was after, and I'll go as like for each section stuff, just some conversations that I've had. So it's not just with your team, but then I've also had conversations with like Jana. Our team talked with Jana regarding sort of things like promotions and faculty excellence awards. But I'll get to those as I go down the line. So the first one is promotion increases 23.1. And I know this has been discussed in the past to raising it to 11% for both. You know, most of you probably know that FSU has 12 and 15%, which is excellent, right? We're all trying to aspire to get to FSU, nowhere near there. But right currently, we are at the lowest with 9 and 10% of all the state university. There might be some small school out there that I don't know of, but right now I know for the bigger schools, we're one of the lowest for promotion increases, and promotion is a major issue. So one of the things in considering this, and I think I was also thinking of my College of Arts and Humanities, where people start at 50. So when they get a 9% interest, you know, increase, it's actually better for them just to keep applying for RIA than to get this promotion. Like RIA actually gives them more money than a 9% increase for promotion to the next rank when you're assistant to associate. So this is what we propose. So 11%, you know, of course you will think about it. And so B, 23.1B. So this one, I do remember in October 2018 that the university was amenable to 11%. So I wanted to put it back up there to consider this for the future. Now, the other thing, I know this is always the big deal, is 23.3, because what are we all going to get in terms of increases? And I put here a little caveat. I know like this is last year's language, so that's why I crossed it out. But a little caveat, it's to discuss this at the table. And I know there's certain things right now with are we going to close or stay open? I mean, there's a lot of unknown things. And I don't know if you wanted to add anything about this, like Sherry or Chuck, do you have any updates on where we're at in considering salary increases for next year?
Yes. Basically, we will have absolutely no ability to bargain them or to even talk about them until, I would say, until at least June, or at least the end of June, probably, because we won't know, because the governor has until June 30th to sign the budget. He hasn't even gotten it yet from the legislature. He doesn't want them to give it to him because he only has 15 days from the time they gets it to make a decision. And the state is just giving us no information about our budget. We have no idea what they're going to do, if they're going to end up having to come back into special session and make some changes. We don't know whether they will get, if we will get any more federal money from for the state that would might offset the losses that the state's suffering from the closures. We are just completely in the dark on money. So, I mean, I hate to say that, you know, say we can't bargain. I mean, we can talk to you, but I can't put anything on the table right now. I just, because I have no idea.
Okay. So any suggestion of like, that we would make would be in some ways imaginary. It would just be a test. Okay.
Right. And, you know, I apologize for that, but there's just, you know, nothing. We don't even know if we're going to be open in the fall. We're assuming that we are, but, you know, we don't know what our enrollment numbers are going to be. So, you know, okay. Everybody's in a place right now.
Okay, assuming we will be open. Okay. All right, so it's okay then. I'm not like saying we won't bargain this. I'm saying that we will then table it until we have more information.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying we won't bargain. I'm just saying I can't put anything on the table until we know what our budget's going to be, what the state's going to do either for us or to us.
Okay. All right then. Okay, so that helps. That helps to us. And I think there's an emergency session on June 1st. Am I correct? Or is that still not happening? Or is it happening?
The legislature?
Yes.
I don't know.
There's still no announcement of any special session happening as far as I'm aware. I mean, it depends on which side you're asking, I think, at different times right now.
Oh, okay. All right. I think everyone's just guessing that there will be. Okay, so
I could guess, but
yeah, seems like there should be, but we'll see. No, okay, all right. So I'll table this for one because I don't want to like force an issue when we don't know anything, especially with COVID. So I'll move into the other sections, and some of them are completely non-economic. They're more. But there are considerations that your team will have to decide or the administration will have to decide on. So one thing is this one. So 23.4, just this line, including, so, you know, incentive awards and excellence, including its strategic initiatives and five key goals. And I know that was Whitaker and Hitt. Are we still going to have these or are these going to change? And this is more like a language question.
I honestly think that, and again, I'm just guessing, but I don't think that we're going to be making changes to things like this. We might have we not had COVID, because you get a new president, you don't know what his goals and are going to be. But I think his plate is so full with just trying to keep the ship afloat and to figure out what's going on that I don't think anybody's, I have heard no discussion of making changes to stuff like this at this point.
Okay. Yeah, because the thing is, like, and I had a question from someone who is on the tenure track, and she said she had been doing her annual evals and everything on these strategic initiatives, but then her chair told her that Whitaker isn't here, so we don't have any more strategic initiatives. So that's why I ask.
Oh, well, our strategic plan, to my knowledge, has not been scrapped. So.
Okay.
It's still in place. Now, somebody will make a liar out of me tomorrow and come out and say, we're dumping all of this. But as long as it takes to develop those things, I don't see us making a big switch right now. We just have too much else on our plate.
Okay.
I think it's good to bring it to our attention, though, because we'll definitely ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Okay. So let me see. So I'll move a little bit forward. Let's see where the next one is. So tips. And Charlie, you have a better memory of this. So Charlie, to 2018, the reason why there's a lot of detail about how the committee is formed, that was something that was negotiated under FOUTH, right, in 2018? Okay.
Yeah.
And do those same procedures, are they going to continue this way? Do you know, or is that a question for Jana?
Jana says that she hasn't heard that the new president has different goals, but she said we could talk about the number and just say key goals in the future, something along those lines. And that makes sense, just not changing things. She was just letting me know that. And as far as the language, what's your question about the awards?
Oh, if the procedures are going to be the same, because the committee selection, details of how the committee is selected is in the CBA, which is fine. I'm fine with that. But I was wondering if they're going to change in any way.
I don't believe that we are proposing any changes. We would propose changes if things are not operating smoothly. Just keep in mind that even though we've been working with these awards for, what is this, 15, 20 years on some of them, it doesn't mean that they always run smoothly. There's always some new wrinkle or something happening. So as far as I know, we would prefer not to have so much about them in the CBA, actually, because we can run it without all this in there. But in any case, I will make sure that Jana knows that if there's something that's not running smoothly, to let the UFF know so we can make any adjustments we need.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I'll pass through these. So at this moment, you know, we had a discussion with my team and no one had any major issues about the tips and RIAs.
Excellent.
Let me see. So I'm going to go to excellence now. Oh, wait, there was one thing, except for one thing. Sorry. So one of the things that was brought to my attention actually by the library was that both UFF and UCFF have been promising something to them because they don't, CDL, UFF, CAPS, and other people within our BU do not qualify. I'm sorry, that keeps popping up. Do not qualify for TIPS, RIAs, or SOTLs. So this was something for your team to consider, which is to equivalent allocation to units ineligible for TIP, RIA, and SOTL awards. So the employees in these following units, the ones that are ineligible, like, for instance, university, library, CDL, CAPS, and I think there's two others, maybe, perhaps. And to have a system. So this, let me put it down here. You know, the whole idea is, you know, librarian, CDL people, they also work very hard and they just want an equitable opportunity for recognition of the excellence and productivity of these employees. And an equivalent pool of merit-based salary increases shall be made available for distribution within these specific units. And these funds shall be in addition to any other merit salary increases distributed to the entire bargaining unit. And so there's a little calculation here for eligibility. And again, this is for consideration. We don't have to debate it currently, but some of this language was done under a lot of reflection and thinking about how to do it best. So employee in one of the designated units is eligible under this section if she or he receives an above satisfactory or outstanding. So something for them so they also have and they're able to enjoy, you know, a recognition of their hard work as well, particularly with the librarians who gave me a full run through of all the jobs they do, and they do a lot. they wear many hats in the library, and especially with the library being as underfunded as it is a miracle they do as much as they do for us. And the distribution, these special merit salary increases, so we don't have a specific name for this, so we were just calling them special merit, for all eligible, it shall be calculated as a percentage of their base salary. So over here, it's above satisfactory in a ratio of 1% for above satisfactory or 1.7. And the calculation, and we did an example here of 20,000, and there's also an Excel sheet that comes along with this. So there's this idea that yes, sometimes there's limits to how much this will be. So it'll be the pool of funds for specific shall be calculated by multiplying the number of employees in the unit by 500. Example, a unit with 40 employees would distribute 20,000 in merit salary increases and allocated proportionally among the eligible employees whose most recent evaluations were above satisfactory or outstanding. Did you guys want to see the visual? Did you want to see the Excel sheet?
Well, I think we're still at this as an economic thing, and this will take a lot of work to set up. Were you thinking about reducing the other awards to pay for this?
We were thinking actually of finding money to pay for this. Where can we find more money for this? We had some ideas and stuff, so we're still thinking about like where the money can come from with my team. So we'll continue discussing this one. But I wanted to put this on the table today just so you know what we were thinking about.
Can I just ask, I'm not quite sure. Are you saying that we wouldn't be able to know in advance how much money is set aside? Or is that the last thing, the calculation of the unit's funds to distribute?
The last thing, the unit's like how much money would be available to distribute is the last thing. So we would figure out based on, so right now we don't know anything about budget, right? So 20,000 is just an example of what would be a set aside for this. But it could be less. It could be, I'm not sure. It just depends on the budget.
Giovanna.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I have about this equivalent allocation. Maybe I'm trying to read it too fast, but it looks like this would be something that each employee would be eligible for on an annual basis.
Yes. But as I said, this is the first draft of this, and this is the more equitable distribution. And also, it was keeping librarians in mind. Librarians at UCF tend to be the most equitable-minded. Is that the right? I don't even know if that's a phrase. But so this is actually their thinking, and 47 librarians got together to put this together. So that's them considering not just how to make more money out of this, but they know that in the last crisis, for instance, they went nearly 10 years without a single raise. And that's why I think it was last year in 2018 or 2019 that they realized that they were so far behind with all the state universities because they didn't have any other method of raises. For most faculty, they at least had like tips, RIAs, and SOTLs, but they didn't have any of that. So this is actually their idea is to, yes, that every year they would receive the equivalent of what the other ones are receiving, what the other groups are receiving, NRBU.
Okay. As you may be able to tell, I finally was able to get on. It took forever.
Oh, yay, wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that the librarian's issue. I mean, I do. So, at this point, I don't think we would say no to anything or yes to anything, but we'll certainly consider it.
Okay. And like I said, this is a first draft, so we can always work with it.
Sure.
And just to give them some sort of recognition for the work that they do.
I guess there's one more thing is that just seeing the distributed learning people are auxiliary funded, so we wouldn't be able to do things the same way perhaps with that. It's not E&G monies, just so you are aware.
Okay. CDL and CAPS are auxiliary, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, so just wanted to put that there. When I send this to you, Charlie, I'll make sure and also send the Excel sheet, the accompaniment to this.
Thank you.
so you see the, I guess, the financial side of it and what they were thinking. Oh, the other thing, too, is the librarians actually got this from a, because they're librarians, they're like archivists. I think it was their archivist who has all our collective bargaining agreements in their special archives. So they got this language not just out of the air, but they actually went and did their research. And this language was in the 2012-2015 collective bargaining agreement, or one of the proposals in there. So they're watching us, and so they're thinking about us. Okay, so the next thing here, and I spoke with this more with Jana, and I had mentioned it before, which was under Excellence Awards. So I'll go down. Let's see. So we were fine with that. Pegasus Professor, here we go. So two changes that were proposed.
It's just got a message saying your internet connection is unstable. So if I disappear.
Okay. All right. Got it. All right. So this is, so in C, Excellence Awards, and it lists all the Excellence Awards that we have available, you know, with the one-time payment of $2,000. So one of the things about the Excellence in Research Awards is, and this was also in Faculty Senate, and also Jen is aware about it because we spoke with her, is that having only one research award at the university level doesn't really reflect how diverse we are as a university. I mean, maybe that made a lot of sense 20 years ago when few people were doing research, but now everyone who's on this campus does research. And, you know, when we were thinking about this, I think it was Nina who had suggested three categories, but then in conversation with Jana, we decided on four categories. So here's the language that says, so Excellence in Research Awards, four would be made available at the university level. The University Distinguished Research Awards for excellence in one of the following categories, creative arts and humanities, the social sciences, physical sciences, and life medical sciences. So this is something for consideration in one of, you know, for these categories. And the idea is not to separate all of us or to make us compete, you know, for just one. And one of the things that I noticed in the last 20 years in both the excellence in teaching and excellence in research, the excellence in teaching, it's almost always from like the creative, from CAW, the create, it's not creative arts, it's the College of Arts and Humanities. And what I noticed from the research award, it's always at the university level from somebody at the hard sciences like Creole or physics. So we wanted to be able to recognize people who are also doing, for instance, a lot of creative rights, arts in music, those who are doing excellent work in the social sciences, other physical sciences, and then of course in life medical sciences as well. So that's why we added that language there. Question, Nina?
If I don't know if I need to add, because actually it was not originated obviously from myself, but it came from the Research Council, which is currently a Faculty Senate committee. And on Research Council in the like 3 years, it was not possible to recognize just outstanding faculty like in nursing college, in art and humanity like musician. And we all feel jointly that it would be absolutely proper way to have instead of one award to have three or better even four. For four, it was Jana suggested that it's kind of very logical to do it like this, and this is really appreciated. And then because it's Liz Klonov who chairs this, not chair, but she is in charge of research at the university. So we also talked to her. Obviously, she was present at all of these committee meetings for the award. And we asked her if she would be willing to support. And she, a number of times, she was very supportive. And she kind of told, oh, if, because it is not very high amount of money. So he told that, yes, if it is like this, I will be very happy to commit and find these funds, if it is on her behalf to do this.
Well, that's Thank you, Nina. That's helpful to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we left it here as a one-time payment of $2,000, but speaking of what Nina said, I guess the recollection from she told me the story before, there was some discussion about raising it to $5,000 because $2,000 seemed like too little. But we'll be reasonable.
This is probably not the year to more than double it, but
Can I also add to what this increase? Because when we discuss this, because I am also liaison with the steering committee from Research Council, so I have to report to steering committee what happened with Research Council. And when I reported that we would like to ask to have 3 or 4 research awards, then Bill Self, who was a chair of the Senate, he told, yes, about 4 years, we even made the resolution to recommend to increase this amount to higher amount. But then I thought, well, let's do at least something instead of nothing. But it is really important for such a big institution with excellent faculty. You know, when you read what they do and how they do, their performances on Broadway it's just and there is no way for them to win this award because we have Creole. We cannot compete. No one can compete with Creole, maybe physics and engineering, but
I know that has always been an issue.
So I will, does anyone else from my team have any more comments? I saw someone muting. Okay. All right, so this second piece of this under excellence is, and this is very common in awards and academia, like at the conference levels, at the book awards, and it costs university nothing, so you'll like this one, and that is honorable mentions. And I know sometimes some people even though second place doesn't mean you win the money and all the other, you at least get an honorable mention that your work, like what Nina was saying, that your work was excellent, but you came in second place. So in addition to the winners of these excellence awards, the second place winners in each category will receive an honorable mention with certificate at the annual awards ceremony. And I forget what the annual awards ceremony is called. The honor ceremony, maybe? I forget.
Founders Day.
It's called what?
Founders Day, isn't it?
The honors ceremony? Founders Day, okay. So, okay. So to just be recognized, and I know the way that the style of it is, like people get on the stage and they're recognized for the work that they've done, there's clapping and everything, but it's something, it might seem small, but the people who work, like what Nina said, who just work, do amazing work, and like this is their whole life, just to be recognized this way. I mean, and more than once I've seen grown men cry when they don't get an excellence award and not being recognized. I've actually seen that in my department because they're not being recognized by UCF, which, you know, if you're a lawyer or some other field, it seems kind of strange. Like, why would you cry? But it is something that happens at UCF because people get so close to the work they're doing and they just want to be recognized in one way or another. And I think in several instances, I've overheard when committee members tell others like, oh, you were second place, you should really apply again. But a lot of times people just get so disillusioned for whatever reason. So I think just having an honorable mention, something that they can be announced, and the certificate can be just a paper certificate, just something that says, we recognize your work, we think what you're doing is excellent. So
I think that's a nice idea.
Yes.
My only thought is that the people who are in second place might say that theirs is better than the person who won and want to challenge it. And I don't want to.
It'll be fine. They'll always say that anyway.
It'll be fine.
Say that anyway.
They'll say it anyway. So they're like battles in some departments because of that. So
Oh, we know.
Yeah. Like, it's fine. You got second place, so. But, you know, there's some people like that. You're absolutely right. But then there's the other ones who, like, just getting that second place award, they'll be so happy. They'll, like, walk around. They'll put, you know, I don't know if you guys have noticed or been to a faculty office, but they proudly put their little plaques in their office. I know one faculty member, he has, like, maybe 4 teaching awards, and he puts them, like, he has nothing on his walls except these teaching awards. So, I mean, it is a source of pride for a lot of faculty. And I agree with you, Char, there are going to be those few who are like sore losers, but.
Yeah, and they'll want agreement. They'll want a re-examination of all the, and compared side by side and demand to be placed first. And
yeah, we can, I don't know, we'll figure out, well, that's what we're talking, right? So we can figure out language so that doesn't happen. And honorable mention is good. But I also know the people, the other ones who are like, they'll just be happy and skipping along in the hallway because they got an honorable mention. And it looks really good on CVs as well. So I know, I have my colleagues from other universities who get these honorable mentions, and it looks really good, you know, to have like an article or something right after your name that says honorable mention, even though, you know, it's just, it's something psychological. It just says that you got recognition for the work.
That's a good thought to mention in your AESP.
Yeah, that too.
You mentioned, Giovanna, that it might not be the same thing to a lawyer. I will tell you that in law school, if you achieve the highest grade or the faculty member judges your particular exam to be the best out of, it's usually like 100 people in a section, you get what's called a book award. And you get a little, you don't get any money for it, but you get recognition, you get a little plaque. And there are people, I know, I've seen lawyers who, 30 years out of law school, they have their book award plaques in their offices. You know, so I understand that.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Oh, Rich, you were going to say something?
It's embarrassing if a lawyer frames that up. That's...
Well, it may be to you, but it isn't to everybody.
Gary, what would a normal number of book awards be? Like, would you expect someone to have like 1 or 2?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell on myself because I do not have mine put up in my office.
I figured.
So I can tell you got a couple.
Yeah, I got 3 or 4 over the course of 3 years. Yeah.
Wow. If somebody had 8, it would be utterly ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody, you know.
That's very impressive. 3 or 4 is very impressive. Unusual.
Yeah. Well, but I don't have them up in my office. But I agree with you. At some point, you know, you got to move on in your career, and hopefully you've done something since law school to merit some.
Yeah, you don't want to peek at 8 book awards and be done. So, yeah.
No, you don't.
Well, thank you for taking us down that little path.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. So I'll continue. But, and I will also say, too, with the Coach Award, you know, this, a few people have brought it up. That was one of the things, too, that people wanted. They just wanted more recognition of their work.
I noticed that when I was looking at that survey this year. I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think they just want to be applauded constantly at UCF.
That may be true, but everybody likes to be told they do a good job.
That's true. It's like, I was reading a book once and it said it's the grad school mentality because we all had advisors, you know, and academia still run like a guild. And so getting that like second person, it goes like, you did a great job. Good job. It's just like, it's ingrained in us. Like we constantly need it in academia. So, but this is one of those things. Okay, so I'll move forward. Faculty. Advising, and also as a note, and I just want to have this recorded, that we also removed 2, the one for the English Language Institute and a second one that was for advising, professional advising or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that we removed that in the last round.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so go down. Oh yeah, oh that's right, Charlie. And also you have a point, the instructional designers do have 1 excellence award.
Yeah, they do.
let me see what else we talked about. Oh, okay. So this one, 23.7, I know we had mentioned it before just in conversation. So the ADIs, here, let me see if I can move it so you can see what I wrote in my notes. The first thing is to make clear where the money is coming from. And one of our goals is to reduce favoritism. One of the things, and again, maybe we don't have all the data, but one of the things that one of our members actually, what he did was he wanted to show that there was a lot of favoritism in ADI. So maybe it's already, that was his hypothesis. And he collected some data. We gave him the information we had about ADIs, but what he showed us, and this was like a year ago, is a lot of gender and racial disparities. So like the highest, I guess like the highest ADI for a woman is still only 30% of what the highest of a man got. And at the time of this data, it was before Whitaker did the equity raises, not a single African-American woman had ever received an ADI, according to his data that he had, because he had names and all this other. He was actually a council member, so he had access to a lot of the data that he had been following. I think it was from like 2014 to 2018.
I can't believe that that's true, because I'm thinking of one person in particular who's actually left the university. Anyway.
Okay, and I think I know who you're talking about, because I remember that. So the data was not perfect. I will do that with the cat. That's why I said with the caveat, it's not perfect. It was also a council member who had an interest in ADIs. But one of the things we do want to do, and you know, especially being a union and all, is we do want to reduce favoritism, and also being aware that, you know, that ADI should recognize merit, but they should also be taken in mind that they're, you know, to avoid any gender or racial disparities. Okay. So those were the two things for it that we wanted to clear. And I don't think it's going to cause, it doesn't cost us anything to just make language a little bit clearer.
Okay.
Yeah, because we might want to also add that information about ADIs that you will, or is it already in there? No, it's not. That it does not discriminate based on race or gender or sex and all that. Okay. All right, so moving to the next session, there was one more. I think it was the administrative salary stipends. I had a few notes there.
Keep rolling.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to make you dizzy, so I don't want to go too fast. Okay, here we go. So administrative salary stipends. So it's a temporary salary increase that is provided to an employee as compensation. So we talked about this last time to make clear, like, what is the stipend? So in some departments, it's course release. In others, it's sort of travel money. In others, it's a fixed amount. And I think, so I'll say this in the past. So I think it was John Fouth, one of my predecessors, who talked about in his department in biology, a coordinator got, according to him, a fixed amount, a course release, and the research travel money. So I can't prove if that's true or not, but it just means that, and I guess when we were talking to different people across departments, everyone got something different. So if there could just be more clarity as to what exactly is it and who will get the stipend, who won't. And I know that there's different positions. Like, for instance, sometimes there's a coordinator who does a lot of advising and does a lot of work. And then there's the other coordinators where all they're really doing is just making sure the department stays alive. So it's just, I guess, depends on what the job description is.
Yvonne, is that something where maybe if the world isn't coming to an end in June, we could sort of talk about offline rather than, because I have a feeling that it would make bargaining last forever if we tried to explain all the nuances and the case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. I think we've tried, your colleges especially, tried to level stipends, and there's just a lot of stuff in the way, and everything's different, you know, every workload is different and things like that, and expectations and culture and all those things. So I'd really think that would be a great time for us to just sort of just talk about it so you could get a better understanding in a global way.
Okay. Okay, so maybe we could schedule a meeting for that so I could understand a little bit global. Because even when we were doing our research on this, like, it just looked overwhelming. Like, what is it? And then we had people talk to us about it, and everyone was saying something different. It just sounded so chaotic that I just did not understand. There was a lot of lack of understanding into what it actually was and who gets what.
Keep in mind that I can't just point at someone in the department, say, you're the new coordinator, and boom, this is your assignment. Administrative duties like that, they're not forced on employees from what I understand, right? So there's that as well. Like if we could say, okay, you're going to be doing the coordinator duties this year, that might be a different thing. It might be more standardized, I guess, but since it, anyway, it's a different project.
Okay. No, it is a project. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sherry.
No, I was just thinking along the lines of what Charlie said. If you had a system where, everybody took a turn at being whatever it is, in some departments I know, or at least in the past, I don't know if they're still doing it, everybody at some point gets to be chair. It's like every 5 years they rotate through the department. If you did something like that, it'd be simpler and more standardized, certainly. Wonder how it would work, I'm not sure, but
in my experience, you get people who get really into it and they do a great job, and then you get someone who's like,
you got cut out, Charlie. You're frozen now.
Yeah, there's always that.
Yeah, that some people just don't do as good of a job. Is that what you're saying, Charlie?
Yeah, well, they're in any workplace, some people are going to take the assignment or responsibility seriously and really do a bang up job and do the best they can with it. And other people are going to just kind of like, okay, it's my turn. And, and kind of do as little as they get, do what they have to get by. But that's just human nature, I guess.
Okay.
I don't think that's unique to faculty particularly.
Okay. So I'll schedule an appointment then to discuss this, because what we were doing, it was becoming a project. Like, we didn't really understand what was going on with so many different types of administrative salary stipends. And then it makes it sound like it's an administrative job so it just depends on the person. Like, some of the information I was getting from different people who were talking to me was I wasn't even sure if they understood exactly what they were doing, and some of them were doing way too much work and getting zero compensation, and that's what their complaint was. They were getting zero compensation for working a lot, and I was like, then don't work a lot. Was my response, but that wasn't like what they wanted to hear from me. Okay. All right. So moving on then.
I'm sorry. I just got back. I turned off video to try to help me to come back. What was the reason for the strike on the second part, on the last part of 2311?
That's what I was about to do next. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I missed it because I've been for so long.
So you're right in time. So the reason for the strike, this is also in conversations with my team, is that they found too much favoritism in this one. So if all or part is later added to the employee salary, so to do this either so that everybody gets it or to strike it out, that's what we thought. So because the thing is, like, in some departments we were noticing that the chair made the decision, and the chair usually did to the person they like. And then we found in other departments where the person who was doing the job and perhaps wasn't a favored person, they did not get this permanent salary increase after doing this administrative work. So that's why we struck it out. Yeah, just to reduce favoritism.
Giovanna, I think there may be some instances where this might appear to be favoritism, but I think what is normally the case when any kind of a stipend is moved into the salary, it's years of service has something to do with it as well. So somebody who pitches in for a semester or two is probably not going to see that stipend become permanent, but somebody that serves in that kind of a role for, say, 5 years, I think that's more likely. At least that's the impression I have.
Okay. Would it be possible to put that in writing?
Well, anything's possible, but I'm saying that's an impression. I'm not ready to codify it in the CBA yet, but just a thought I wanted to share.
Oh, okay. No, and it makes sense, too, like that a semester or two probably does not merit getting this permanent raise, whereas 5 years or more, I know some people who've been in the same position for like a decade. So that would make a lot of, that would make a lot of sense. Yeah, if we could just make that clear, but anyway, let's just, I struck it out, but I will put a little note here that we'll work on this language to make it, the goal again, reduce favoritism.
Okay, well, this is certainly something we can be, that can be part of our discussion on this whole topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's also a non, like, economic thing, like how to reduce favoritism. Like who gets what? Because as you probably all know, with not knowing what's going to happen with COVID and the crisis, and I guess the economic crisis that we're already in, people will be very worried about all these things. And they're going to be very concerned about money, where it's going to come from. And there'll be more accusations of favoritism and just the general infighting that sometimes happens because of money.
Yeah. I'm afraid you're right. And that makes me sad.
Yeah, but we can prevent it by being as clear as possible, see?
Well, we can hopefully mitigate the pain. I don't know if we can avoid it altogether.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that covers everything. Does anyone on my team have any questions, suggestions, or comments?
Yovana, will you email this to us?
Mm-hmm. I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And I stopped the share. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I appreciate the time and effort that you guys put into this. You've given it a lot of thought. And we will certainly, on at least on the non-economic pieces of it, we'll talk to, you know, my feeling is I don't think things are going to change on the academic side of the house as quickly as they are. You know, you saw the notice that the president sent out saying that they were immediately going to be searching for a CFO and a CIO.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our huge big needs right now. I think that the president feels fairly comfortable with Mike Johnson as his interim provost. And I think, you know, you can only run so many national major searches at one time. So I don't think that there's going to be a change at the provost level for a while. So, I don't see major changes in the academic, what we're doing on the academic side of the house, but barring, as we have to say about everything these days, you know, something happening with the budget or COVID or, you know, but so some of these things, I feel comfortable talking to Mike about and Jana, because I feel like they are in a position to be able to say yay or nay on some of this. Sometimes when you have an interim and you don't know how long they're going to be there, they're reluctant to make decisions about something. Because, you know, but I don't feel like that's the case. So we will certainly talk to them about some of these things.
Okay.
And our next bargaining session is June 11th, I think, so maybe we'll have a better picture and be able to respond by then.
Okay. All right, so I'll go ahead and...
Better picture. Sorry,
mm-hmm. All right, so I'll go ahead and I'll send this... I'll send this proposal. Sorry, my family is talking behind me. So I'll send this proposal, and I'll also send the accompaniment Excel sheet that the librarians actually created for...
Okay.
J 23.4J, the new language, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you all about the at least the non-economic pieces of this on June 11.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And if we don't have anything else, I guess we can enjoy an extra hour and a half of free time this afternoon, or time to catch up on something else that we've needed to catch up on.
Yeah. So does anyone have anything else, like housekeeping, any other issues? No? Good. All right. So for my team, let's meet in the bargaining caucus room, just really quick, just for a quick debrief. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good rest of your week.
Thank you.
Bye.